was going to do that anointing service. That's the fourth time I participated in an anointing service. You never know what God can do. The first time somebody had cancer and she was determined cancer free after the prayer. So there's nothing that God, you know, there's nothing impossible to God. So whenever something is happening in the church, you know, the Bible said it is not something new. It is in the Bible in James. We just read it. So we have no better sense to just follow what the Bible said, you know. And I'm glad I was anointed tonight, because you never know what God is about to do. So I'm so happy to be here. And basically, as I'm growing older, you know, I'm working with the seniors. I'm getting close to be a senior myself. People don't know that, you know, but the words is out. I'm on Facebook, on whatever, you know, they call, you know. Well, I'm on social media, and the kids are putting my age out there, you know. So I cannot hide no more, you know. So I thank God for keeping me young. I still exercise, and I am not too far from being a senior citizen, you know. So I am so happy to be here tonight. I am going to be speaking on the subject mental health, on the aging population. That's my new passion now, working with the seniors, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. You know, my mom did not make it to senior citizen. My dad did not either. So, I think that's the best work now. I'm doing it with other mothers and fathers, figures for me. So I'm glad. So I have one with me today, and Geraldine Brown. So Jerry, I had a conversation with her while she was at the palace with me. They just told you I run the palace Adult Day Health Center. There are two type of health center for seniors. One is mainly entertaining. The other one is medical. Ours is medical. Yeah, we have a care plan to follow with the seniors, and they're not playing bingo every day. We have an array of activities that we do with them. If you never, you know, came by to visit, just stop by. And because there are lots of services for the seniors that we don't know, we're not educated on. And there's a lot of things that you're doing for your mom and dad, or husband and wife, not knowing you could get paid for it easily. It's part of, you know, these are something I'm throwing so that, you know, if you want to know more, you can come by and ask me question. I'll tell you what to do. I was telling the pastor, it is a great thing because to speak about mental health, because these are taboo subjects. No one wants to talk about it. But unfortunately, a lot of us are suffering from mental health. I was listening to Vanessa. Three out of four people, you know, according to the CDC, suffers with mental health, meaning like, you know, if four people sitting here, there are three people suffering. If even if it's not acute, but you have some type of episodes in your life. So too often in the church, we have made this issue, you know, we have made this an issue that only people who are not close to enough to God struggle with. But it's not true. People will tell you, you know, you need to pray more. But I wish somebody would tell, you know, but you would never tell somebody who had cancer to pray more. If you have more faith, you wouldn't have cancer. But they say, for people who have mental health. Okay. We are okay in the church to pray for people who have health issues like heart, kidney, liver, cancer, etc. But the church said, if you are struggling in the mind, then you either are not saved or something is wrong with you. It is time we stop the nonsense. This is nonsense. It is okay to see a doctor for brain cancer, but not a mental sickness. And mental sickness and brain cancer, they are both part of the brain. You have it in the brain. But one you can pray for, one the other one is a question of lack of faith, or you need to pray more. Things that can, you know, I want to tell you some of the mental health issue, some of the things that can trigger mental health issue. But it's not limited to what I'm going to say. There are more to that. Sickness or illness can lead to that. Medication can lead to mental illness. Bad eating habits, negative thinking, financial issue, the loss of a loved one, conflict, stress, or unresolved conflict. There are also common misconceptions. You are either mentally healthy or mentally ill. Mental sickness is a sign of weakness. People with mental sickness are dangerous. Mental health issues are forever. You'll never get healed. That's not true. Mental illness means you are crazy. Basically, for those who, I mean, back home, it's either you're mentally normal or you're crazy. That's how they said. That's the reason why. But we need, we need to raise the awareness, and that's exactly what the pastor is doing. I think you are inspired, Pastor, to do that, just that, because we need more of that, and the conversation needs to continue, not only just a week, but continue. So, I want to say, since I'm talking for the seniors, mental illness is common in seniors, but it may go overlooked. Friends and family of an older adult struggling with a mental health disorder may notice the change in mood or behavior, but they might believe it's a normal part of aging. Mental illnesses in seniors are often attributed to cognitive decline, social isolation, or physical health problems. I want you to know that mental health disorders are treatable in people of all ages. Before receiving treatment, the individual or their caregiver must realize that something is wrong. By learning about the most common disorders in seniors, we can recognize the sign in yourself or a loved one. According to the CDC and the World Health Organization, about 15% of adults age 60 and older have a mental disorder. Around 1 in 6 seniors experience elder abuse, which can be a major contributor to mental illness. Older men have the highest rate of suicide of all age groups. About 12% of seniors age 65 and older reported that they rarely or never receive social support. Men are more likely than women to report not receiving support. Up to 63% of seniors with a mental health problem don't receive the services needed to recover. primary care physicians fail to diagnose depression in half of cases. They just think, you know, they're just losing their memory. But the senior may be suffering with bipolar. And then that, you can imagine the chaotic situation, giving them the wrong medication. These statistics are alarming. But it is important to remember that support is available to older adults, to seniors. Elderly mental health disorders should not be considered normal, and they should not be accepted as a normal part of aging. Most seniors are emotionally and psychologically happy and healthy. And those who are struggling with mental health symptoms can get better with treatment. There are certain risk factors and causes of health issues in seniors. While it's impossible to predict who may develop a mental health disorder, there are some risk factors that increase the chances. Here are the following: chronic pain or other physical health problems, reduced mobility, social isolation, that's the greatest one among seniors, dementia or cognitive decline, grief or widowhood, malnutrition, medication side effects. If you or a loved one experience any of these, you should be especially vigilant about elderly mental health. There are some common mental illness in seniors. Here are some of the most common. Depression. Depression is the most common elderly mental health disorder, affecting around 5% of seniors around the world. The illness causes a long-term change in mood or lack of interest in preferred activities. Here are some signs and symptoms of depression in seniors: feeling sad, hopeless, guilty, empty, fatigue, difficulty sleeping or sleeping excessively, physical pain without a clear cause, difficulty concentrating or making decisions, restlessness or being irritable. Some of these symptoms, they are normal for short periods of time, but especially after a major life event. But if they continue, it is a problem. It is a sign of mental health. The good news is around 80% of seniors with depression get better with treatment. So always encourage somebody to go for treatment. I know we don't like these things. We want to pray. It's good to pray, but they need to seek treatment. Anxiety is the second most common mental disorder. And every book you read, you would see anxiety, to feel anxious. Okay, it's good to say, the Bible says, do not be anxious in anything, in everything, give God the glory. But sometimes it's just chemical imbalance that causes those things. And we have to understand these things can be treated if we do what we have to do. We seek for help. We seek for professional help. Substance abuse or substance use disorders, you know, drinking a lot, smoking, you know, taking drugs, or maybe being addicted with taking drugs, craving or urges to use a substance, giving up on other activity to use a substance, wanting to stop but being unable to do so, building up a tolerance to the substance. Bipolar disorder, that's another thing. And sometimes they can't say it. They feel that because they're getting old, because the senior is getting older, maybe they're losing their mind, maybe they're losing their memory. That's the reason why sometimes they talk, sometimes don't make sense. But the reality is, you know, it may not be losing memory, that could be bipolar disorder. If it's not treated, it can be fatal for them. So, like other condition, bipolar is often mistaken for dementia, like I said, or other cognitive issues in older adults. What can we do? That's exactly what I'm doing. You know, that's why we have the palace. You stay connected. If you're not connected, you know, if you're isolated, and usually that's what happened. Most seniors don't want to stay connected. They want to stay home. They want to watch TV. They don't want to get out. Encourage them to go out. Lots of my seniors, they would say, at the beginning, say, I'm not coming. I'm staying home. And then at the end, they realize it's a good thing for them. The usual event coming, picking them up, coming and do the same, the exercise and stuff, that slow down their dementia also, their Alzheimer's, all of these are slowing down by doing the same activity, having the empowerment of waking up this morning, knowing that at this certain time they're going to pick me up and I'm going to stay connected. Make time for fulfilling activities. Make time. So we do that, you know, we go to places with them. We go to restaurants, we go to the malls, we go to the farms, you know, we go places. It's important. Take advantage of senior mental health services. Also, there are services provided to the seniors. We have to take advantage of them. And most of the time, we don't want to do that, but it is important for the seniors. At this time, I want to call Jerry just for a few minutes, 2 to 5 minutes. She's going to tell you her own experience, you know, because, I mean, she was surprised. I was talking to her for a few minutes. She was in my office, and then she was telling me what, you know, the good of the program, you know, what the program did for her. I never knew that. There's a lot of things we don't know. Would you come, Jerry, and tell us? Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm glad to be here, but I'm surprised. He was saying, I was talking to him the other day in the office, trying to explain really, you know, while I was at the center. I really didn't want to go to the center. I'm telling you, I did not want to go. They were trying to get me to go. I said, okay, I'll go next week. Next week will come. Jerry wouldn't go. It got so bad that I stayed in my room, my bedroom. I would look out my window, I'd watch TV, and I thought I was perfectly fine. But you know, it affects everything. It affects your health. I got to the point where I couldn't walk. I kept falling. I had a problem, which to me, I didn't even know it was a problem at first. I thought I was being social. I had a drinking problem. And to me, when I had a drink, it calmed me down. It made me feel better. It made me be able to deal with everything that was happening in my life at that particular time. You know, trying to keep up with my kids. I had my kids living with me, my two older kids and my grandson. And basically, I was responsible for them, but it was very hard. So I got to the point where I got physically sick. And they had to send me to the hospital. I stopped walking. I couldn't move my legs. I just couldn't walk. So it's really bad. But then if somebody told me not to drink, I'd argue with them. No, it's not bothering me. But then one day, I'm going to tell you one story that I had one day. I had gotten into an argument with my daughter. Didn't even realize that I was arguing with her because your mind goes sometimes. You don't even know it's gone. And I had an argument with her, and I went back in my room. I went downstairs. My son had my car. I went downstairs. I didn't even know I was doing this. I got into the car. I drove the car out the parking lot. Drove the car up. I don't know if you know where on the east end where Stratford Avenue and Connecticut Avenue is. Drove on those two streets, parked the car, got out, did perfectly fine. Didn't even know I was doing it. All I know is when I came back to myself, I was standing on somebody's porch and I was screaming, yelled to the top of my lungs. But I didn't know why. I don't know, it's very hard. Then one of the social workers that I had decided that I should get out of the house. I didn't want to do that. So they wanted to send me to the center. I didn't want to go to the center. But finally I did. Let me tell you, the center is the best thing for people who don't even realize that they're sick, for people who think they know they need to socialize with people, but they don't know how to do that. Excuse me. I have a table that I sit with, and I love that table I sit with. I mean, we sit there, we argue, we talk about different things, but we're together, and we help each other. And that's what I'm trying to say. If anybody in here has a problem that they think they can take care of themselves, you can't. You can't do it. You know, I had got to the point where I didn't even want to go to church. I didn't want to do anything. I depended on me. Jerry was going to take care of Jerry. But I know that now that I can't do that, that I have to depend on the Lord. And then I depend on the center very, very much. You know, when I'm there, I'm happy. We exercise. We do arts and crafts projects. We talk to each other. We dance. But let me tell you, please, if there's anybody in here who's having a problem, any type of a problem, don't sit home by yourself. You can't help yourself. I thought I could, but you can't. So I just want to say thank you for letting me get up here. Let me tell you, if you had told me yesterday that I would be standing up here, I wouldn't be up here. If I was home, you couldn't get me to come here and say this. But anybody, thank the Lord that I'm here in this church and it's helping me. And I just want to say that I want everybody to have that feeling, to be happy with your family. There's a family problem I'm going through right now. And the other day, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I can't do nothing about it. All I can say is, Lord, please help me. Please help me. And I'm here in church today. This is helping me, but I never know I would have been here. So when you're having a problem, go to God. Go to your friends. Be with them because they can't help you. Thank you.
Amen. God bless. Thank you. As I'm closing quickly, I was telling Pastor, I got to a Psalm. We studying Psalms this quarter, and I got to Psalms, and when I was reading it, I said, this guy must have been depressed. You know, there are places in the Bible, they may not say the word depression, Pastor, but you can say it. If you can put Psalm 88 in Psalm 88, I just want to tell you, you're not alone. You know, even the Kohites, the one of them, I don't know who wrote it, but it's the Kohites who wrote it. So it's a Lord God of my salvation. By day I cry out, even at night before you. Let my prayer reach you. Turn your ear to my outcry, because my whole being is filled with distress. My life is at the very brink of hell. I'm considered as one of those plummeting into the pit. I'm like those who are beyond help, drifting among the dead. That's the Bible. Lying in the grave like dead bodies. Those you don't remember anymore. Those who are cut off from your power. You place me down in the deepest pit, in places dark and deep. Your anger smothers me. You subdue me with it, wave after wave, Salah. You've made my friend distant. You've made me disgusting to them. I can't escape. I am trapped. It's like depression to me. I can't escape. I am trapped. Because depression, that's what it does to you. You feel you trapped. You feel you cannot get out. You feel you cannot get out of bed. You feel you cannot even do the basic things that you used to do. And you feel you can't do that. My eyes are tired of looking at my suffering. I've been calling out to you every day, Lord. I've had my hands outstretched to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do ghosts rise up and give you thanks? Salah. Is your faithful love proclaimed in the grave? Your faithfulness in the underworld? Are your wonders known in the land of darkness? Your righteousness in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you, Lord. My prayer meets you first thing in the morning. Why do you reject my very being, Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? Since I was young, I've been afflicted. I've been dying. I've endured your terrors. I'm lifeless. Your fiery anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me all day long like water. They engulf me completely. You've made my loved ones and companion distant. My friend, my only friend is darkness. That's the Bible. My only friend is darkness. You know, I know third of to half of the Psalms, the 150 Psalms, are expression of lament. Lamentation, usually what the lamentation do, it gets you closer to God. That's what we're talking just a minute. It gets you closer to God because lamentation is different from complaining. Complaining gets you, you know, away from God because you complain. It's like, God, I don't see why you let that happen. Why God, you know, you complaining. But lamentation is, God, please help me. If you don't come now, I'm not going to make it. But in that lamentation, this is the first time I've seen that, you know, that lamentation, there is no hope. Pastor, there's no hope in it, you know. So the end of the psalm said, darkness is my friend. My only friend is darkness. That's how the psalmist ends Psalms 88. Brothers and sisters, there are people, you know, they feel they are in darkness. And you think, you know, they're studying the word, and that guy is a psalmist. He sings and he prays God, and then meaning like, you know, I strongly believe that this guy was, the psalmist was in deep depression. But depression is a liar. It tells you that you are worthless, that you have no friends, that you are beyond hope. That's what the psalm was saying, that you have no future, that you are only a burden to others. Psalm 88 reassures us that struggles with depression and other forms of mental health are not due to a lack of faith. In fact, the writer shows that great faith by continuing to cry out to God, even when God seems distant. God, please have mercy on me. He keeps calling on God. The psalmist is lamented what Luther called the hidden God, or God in a mask. Vigny is a French writer. He wrote something. He said, if it is true that in the sacred garden of the scripture, the Son of Man said what we see reported, mute, blind, and deaf to the cry of all creatures, if heaven abandons us like an aborted world, the just will oppose disdain to the absence and will answer from now on with an only cold silence to the eternal silence of the divinity. One of the most harmful misconceptions about depression and other mental illness is that they are a sign of weak faith or of a weak person. This is not true. Believing they are helpful, Christians will tell someone dealing with depression that they can get better if they pray more, if they read the Bible more, if they be more thankful, or just be more positive and optimistic. Those are not bad things. It's certainly praying is good. Certainly reading the scripture is great. Gratitude is good. Optimism are good practices, especially during struggle times. But depression is an illness. Would you tell somebody who has the flu or cancer to just pray more or think good thoughts? I hope not. I understand that it is more difficult to help someone with depression or another mental illness than someone who is suffering physically. But you can see a cut and cover it with a bandage. That's easy. An X-ray can reveal a broken bone that can be healed with the aid of a cast. You can look at someone's throat and have a doctor do a culture to determine they have strep throat. They treat it with antibiotic. Mental illness is not visible. It's not as visible, often, especially to the one experiencing it. But mental illness can be just as debilitating or even deadly. How can we, the people of God, the body of Christ, the church, how can we help? First, we must purge the stigma of depression and other mental illness. Instead of saying or implying that mental illness is a faith issue, we must acknowledge it as a medical issue. Also, following the example of the writer of Psalm 88, it will help others if we find the courage to admit our own struggles with mental health. You know, it was a blessing because I had a pain, a terrible pain. I had my hernia repaired. They put a supportive mesh to strengthen the weakened area and help the tissue stay in place. You know, I was suffering. I wouldn't want somebody come and say, that's James, Brother James, it's because you're not praying enough, because you don't have faith enough, that's why you have that stomachache. No, it was hernia. And people would come and pray for me. It's okay to do that. But when it comes to people with mental health issue, we tend to say, well, maybe you have a bigger problem than that. And usually we tend to say the problem is a spiritual problem. So to seek the help of professional does not deny God's power or ability to help us. The same thing I was saying during COVID time. God can heal you with vaccine, with the vaccination, or God can heal you without the vaccination. He's God. You know? God works through those God has called and equipped to heal. God works through therapy they provide and medication they prescribe. God can also work through the people of God the same way God works through us when we help those who are physically healed or injured. as the church, we can be a source of strength and support for those dealing with depression, anxiety, and other mental health challenges. One of the lies depression tells, as we heard at the end of the psalm, is that you have no friends, and that no one cares about you, and that you are not worth caring about anyway. As a community of faith, as a church of God, we can disprove those lies, not just by reminding each other of God's unconditional love and presence, but by being that love and the presence incarnate, God's love and presence in the flesh. Rather than telling someone to cheer up, we're good at that. Oh, cheer up, everything is going to be all right. We can listen to and acknowledge their pain. We can encourage others to get help and point them to that help, and even accompany them as they seek that help. So, brothers and sisters, we need to do better. We need to do better. We need to be more understanding toward those who are suffering with mental health. No matter who you are, not matter what you have done or haven't done, even when you can't see that because your illness is lying to you, you are awesome and God loves you. God does not desire you to suffer physically or emotionally. There is help, there is hope, and there is hope in Christ. May God bless you.
I pray that you all have been blessed by this message and that it raises awareness as well. I myself, as he spoke, find myself guilty because I had said the same thing to an individual when the person had expressed their state of depression. I said to them, it's going to be fine. You just pray and ask God to help with the situation. So I hope moving forward, whenever we encounter anyone with this type of situation, instead of saying prayer, which is good, as he said, we would also take the initiative and encourage them to seek professional advice. So we'll do our closing song. Oh, sorry.
Elder James St. Paul, please come forward. Bon copé.
For what?
You're so obedient.
Elder St. Paul, we want to, on behalf of the Brookline Seventh-day Adventist Church, we want to thank you for your ministry. We thank you for just coming up tonight and saying yes to God and answering the call and just delivering a message to us that we needed to hear. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Sister Jerry, because you're our sister now, we say thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming up. We know it's a lot to come and stand here in front of people, especially people that you don't know. But thank you for becoming family. Okay.
Please stand for our closing song, number 100, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness,
O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new verses I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Can you bow your head in reverence for me, please? Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you, mighty God, for this message that was brought before us today. Heavenly Father, may it be cemented into our heart. May we go out and reach each other, those that are with mental health issues, suffering as depression, anxiety, loneliness, whatever the situation is, mighty Father, may we be of good courage and bring peace within these individuals. Heavenly Father, remember our elderly as well. Mighty God, may you help within their means as well. Remember the young ones as well, mighty Father. They seem as well to be in these states of mental challenges. And Heavenly Father, continue to guide and be with us and grant unto us safe journey and mercies as we depart one from each other. And bring us back safely, mighty God, on Friday and Saturday to hear the final decisions and preachings of these messages. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Maybe seated, everyone. Let me say thanks for those who have turned out tonight, those on Zoom, those from North Stanford, and those who are in the church, especially our visiting friends. We are very happy to have you tonight. And we are inviting you to come and join us on Friday night. Again, we start all over on Friday night and also on Sabbath. Just remember that. And we had our anointing service tonight. It's not finished. So we're going to continue on Sabbath with the anointing service. And those of your friends and your neighbors who think that they need this anointing, please invite them. Come with a prepared heart, a heart of faith, so that they can come and get the result from this anointing service. So I want to say, Jerry, such a brave lady. We thank you for your presence and for your coming tonight to make that impression and to give us a synoptic view of what it is like to be in age and caring, wanting to care for yourself, but have discovered, make that self-disclosure that I can't do it all by myself. It takes God and your other people around you to care for you. I want to invite you back on Friday evening, all right? All right, and all my visiting friends in the back there, I'm going to invite you back on Friday so you can come and stay with us. So that Lord bless you all, and have a good night. Safe journey home, everyone. Thank you.